Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway View of GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, InsideSTL.com. And you can also listen to us on 105.7 HD2 FM, crystal clear on Inside STL and 105.7 HD2 FM. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you on the radio program. Wow, what a program we have for you today on the Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log. What TJ Moe will join us at 9. Look at that, Doug.
That's nice. Going off that wonderful Mizzou first half.
Yep.
No. Okay, well, that's fine. We'll just talk amongst ourselves. That's always
why don't we
okay.
just talk about the first half when we have TJ on and make it seem more okay. impressive than it actually like they, ended up.
They hung in there for a while, didn't they? Well, why don't you guys take it from here? I'm not going to be a whole lot of good to you.
What's oh, you problem? Had the father-father dance.
It wasn't a dance, but I did. I drank more than I've had to drink in probably 4, 5, 6, 7, 8
years.
Oh,
you had yourself a little taste of the demon rum?
Yeah, I never got around to the demon rum.
Jello beer. Shots off the other gentleman's midriffs.
Somebody gave me a Jello shot.
Oh, you know,
gentleman that listened to the show. I don't know who he was. Yeah. I'm not used to that kind of drinking, fellas.
Now, what about the sleeping arrangements? Because I heard there might have been a detail that might be good for the
well,
for
we,
the text,
we shared
for the
room. Some of the dads shared a room here in that Broadway hotel there downtown Columbia. But that was just
how's the hotel?
It's very nice. Very and who, nice, gorgeous
and,
hotel.
And who are you with?
I was with a couple of the other dads,
and they were sleeping how?
Well, they were topless.
Put your tongue in that dark hole.
Okay, Plowsy.
Well done, Plowhawk. Right out of the gate.
Well, that's how some guys sleep. You know, they don't sleep in a t-shirt. I was fully clothed, of course. I'm always cold. But that really didn't have much to do with the weekend. That's not what the weekend was about.
It seemed like it might have been the headline story.
Okay, we've been running around all day. We're tired. Okay, everybody goes to bed. You wake up and you go again. It's not really about the sleeping arrangements.
Right, but you are an honest guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you an honest question. I'm hoping for an honest answer.
That's all we're asking for.
Okay, so you have a great time because you have great kids and you're celebrating the greatness of your children and having a little bonding. We get all that. So you have a few shots, you have a few booze drinks, you have some beers, whatever you're drinking. Mm. You get back to the room and you put on your jammies or whatever and you look over and there's two topless guys. Honestly, what were you thinking to yourself?
I got to stay right here on my bed and go to sleep just as fast as I can.
You were a little uncomfortable.
I wasn't uncomfortable.
A little.
No. I've lived. Did you not ever live in a fraternity house yourself?
Yes, I did.
And? There were not other men there sleeping?
There were also things going on. There were also things going on in my fraternity house that wouldn't be going on with adults. That's
well, they
what
are
I'm
adults.
Saying.
People in a fraternity house are adults.
Okay. You're going to say a 20-year-old away from home for the first time is exactly the same as you and the fathers.
Well, what did you think we were doing? What did you think I was
doing? I had to have you inside me.
I'm exactly like Sean Hannity. I report, you decide.
Right.
So I'm just trying to get the information. I'm not. Right. I'm unbiased like Sean Hannity.
Guys, I wish I had kids so I could bang their friends' dads. Thanks. That's from the hipster Towers of South.
That reminds me, I have to suspend one of the kids there. Oh, God. I told him, Jay Travis has just was.
Jay Travis right. is the hipster Tower Grove South. I've
no,
met him. I think
different it's, guy, but he's been suspended a period of 10 days time. I wrote it in my.
Why'd you
note
suspend
my,
this, bro?
Well, we started arguing about what happened to the U.S. men's national soccer team.
You went down there to talk soccer with the men.
Yeah, that's what it was about. And you know, I argued my point. He argued his. And when it was over, I decided. His argument was worth a 2-day suspension, and he didn't seem to respect the suspension log heel as much as he should have. So gradually, some other things came out of his mouth, and the suspension grew to a period of 10 days' time, and I expect that's not going to feel very good as he wakes up
so
on this Monday morning.
And then you bunk down with his father, and everything's fine then?
I didn't bunk down with his father, no. No, no.
Be hot, though.
It wouldn't have been hot. It would not have been.
All disputes are settled by Doug. Shacking up with a dad.
That's not the case.
All right, I stand corrected.
No,
again,
no.
I'm just
you
asking
are the prince
question.
Of misinformation is what you are.
Well, you did shack up with a couple of
days. It'd be wonderful if there's all kinds of hotel rooms up there where you could just get your own, and they didn't cost $250 a night, but they do cost $250 a night, at least this one. And rooms are hard to come by, so a couple of people share a room. Mm.
So you're saying it costs a little more to have a couple of dads as roommates, but you laid
down
less. The cat.
Costs less. Costs a third as much.
What? That seems like a great deal to me. Yeah.
Right. Well, it was a fun time, but I drank too much, so I'm not going to be much good
to
you.
A lot of beers, or were you drinking the hard stuff?
Yeah, just beer for me. Yeah.
And I'll bet you didn't have to buy too many. People were just handing them
to
you.
No, I know. I bought my share.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
Well, I did. I had a good time. Thank you.
Sorry about the other stuff. I was just trying to. I thought there might have been a
story. There wasn't any other stuff there.
Nicki Minaj, Miv, Fusion, Moscata.
I didn't have any of that.
See?
Didn't have any.
Well, back to Missouri. What a game.
Okay. Boy, those Tigers. Boy, he threw a couple of long passes that were real beauties. But those dogs are tough. That's a rugged bunch down there.
Who impressed you the most?
Missouri.
Well, I'd say the Bulldogs who kept scoring all those touchdowns. Doggone it. I thought we had them.
You like Chubb.
Did you really? Did you really actually?
No. No, I didn't think we had them. No. No, I did not. I was a little frustrated that they didn't try to throw the ball a little bit more, Mizzou, in the early going, because I think that's the one thing they have. The one chance they have is Drew Locke throwing bombs.
Yeah, that's essentially all they have.
Yeah, you're not going to grind out a bunch of yards. You're not going to have long, sustained drives up and down the field. Your hope is you got an NFL arm, anyway, on the quarterback, and he can throw it 60 yards, and you might get a touchdown there.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's going to be up for snatch grabs this Saturday at 11 a.m. when Idaho shows up in Columbia.
Yeah. This is certainly one where you throw out all the record books.
What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
Yeah. Huh? And that's a homecoming, right? So you have a sexy matchup for your sexy homecoming.
Yeah, at 11 a.m. So the homecoming parade gets underway at like 5 a.m., I think, 5:30.
I have to go back up for that. Oh. Not necessarily the parade. The other stuff.
Is Greg Vaughn pomping?
I don't know what that means, really.
Circumstancing?
Pomp is like when you put little banners on floats.
No, he won't partake in that. No, that's not really his thing.
And don't act like you have to go. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. It's your homecoming.
Yeah.
It's like at Geneseo State. I never miss it.
Have you ever been back to Geneseo State?
One time. Well, for my fraternity reunion, I went back one time.
Did T-Slow trace his privates again?
No, but my little brother, Ken Tibbetts, who is like I don't even know. He's slightly removed from Cro-Magnon man. And
Kenny Tibbetts.
And he was wearing a tie, and everyone was pretending like they were businessmen. And then 10 minutes in, he laid some guy out because he bumped into him.
So God's at a reunion?
He's like, honestly, he's a wonderful guy, but he is two chromosomes away from Cro-Magnon man.
And he punched a fellow.
Well, he said, everyone's kind of bragging, you know, everyone worked at Enterprise and was a businessman or whatever. And everyone's standing around like they've made it, and I'm different than the guy that was here 2 years ago. I'm a businessman now, and I'm well to do. And then they have a few beers, and someone bumped into him, and he said, if he comes back this way and looks at me, I'm going to knock him out. And this isn't a fraternity house. That guy wasn't even in the fraternity. Guy walks back, and Tim had said something to him, and the guy told him to whatever. Bap!
Punched him.
Yeah.
Kenny Tibbetts.
I thought to myself, all right, that'll be it for coming back to these things.
And all these old fellas, they work in the lunch and meat business now?
No, some are very successful. Some are like senior assistants to the vice presidents at Enterprise.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
wow. It's kind of a live read for Geneseo State. Doug, it's the 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. They have over 75 HVAC technicians. They always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Send your emails in for the Hot Shots email today. They'll be read at 9:45. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, now has 3 victories. And here we are. We're on the back 9 of October.
Well done.
All right.
And Matt, who bowls at Hanks, has the lead. Keep an eye on that. I don't think he has won a month since June of 16. Is that right?
18, 16? 2016.
2016.
Okay.
So this could be kind of fun to see what happens here.
I don't really keep records of that kind of thing.
The rest of the way, we will be live at Hot Shots in Webster Groves a week from Thursday. TMA Live on Thursday, October 26th in Webster Groves. It's presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Why don't you pour yourself one and see what the word is here on a Monday morning?
Well, a little early for me, but maybe Thursday night. Well, maybe, perhaps.
A week from Thursday, if you could. It's at the Webster Groves location presented by Bud Select. The Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log. TJ Moe with us at 9 o'clock.
So you guys can break down the Missouri game. I tried to watch it. I mean, I watched a little in the early going.
You know what I was doing?
No.
I was sitting right here, Jack. Sitting right here. The Kirkwood Brewhouse patio. Beautiful Saturday night. Had the Blues and Ning. Doug, watch this. Blues and Ning.
Ning.
On one television. Yeah. And the Gers in Georgia on the other.
It was fun to flip back and forth.
Was. Yeah, but if you would have been up here with me, you could add some candied bacon, a nip of the cooking sherry, and watch both at the same time.
They cook with sherry up here?
Yep.
What, what's healthy on the menu, may I ask you? Because
the salmon. That's what I get all the time when I have lunch here.
How do they cook the salmon?
Strong to quite strong.
They cook it strong? Because I have a guest coming in for the podcast that I'll be starting up. I think we're calling it the Cat Chat Podcast.
Cat Chat Podcast.
And this is a former Cardinal who now eats very healthy, lost a lot of weight, and has a nickname where the initials are BC, and played for Atlanta
Doug, do you
last season.
Big city. Big city.
Good one. Good one. Where's the bell?
I lost 21 pounds by doing nothing.
All right, Larry.
So I had told him that, because he lives around here in the off season, he still calls St. Louis home, and I would take him to lunch, so I said, hey, I'll take you to lunch, but let's do a little podcast first. Then I'll take you right over to Kirkwood Brewhouse. And then he got back to me later and said, hey, can we go someplace that has healthy food? And I thought to myself, the salmon there is is well-received,
right.
And that's healthy.
Come on,
that's
city. Right.
So that's where we're going.
He thought it was just bar food. He doesn't understand.
I'll bet that's
restaurant.
What he saw, Brewhouse, and he didn't understand that the food is very, very good.
He didn't want just burgers and fries, but there are other choices.
Will you help me explain that to him?
Well, you can do that.
If you stood there and like sort of intimidated him, it would help.
You think it would take a lot of explaining to say no, you can get the healthy food there?
You
think
but you have a way really like that? You have a way of when you stand close to someone and glare at them that they acquiesce to whatever you want to do.
The message really gets sent.
Yeah. That's I could use that help, that's all.
All right.
Cuz I'm scared to ask Cardinals or former Cardinals any tough questions.
That's right. That's right.
I go, "Hey guy." That's what I'm saying.
You kind of freeze up, please.
That'd be
a difficult podcast.
That's going to be my whole podcast.
hey, guys. Oh, boy, that was cool that time you hit the home run off Kershaw.
How's your slide piece?
It's a great example of the question right there. Doug, speaking of baseball, the Cubs are down 2-0 after Justin Turner. 29 years to the day, Kirk Gibson stunned Vin Scully and Jack Buck. He sends the Cubs back to Chicago, down 0-2.
Good catch by the fan out there. That was my takeaway from the play. Justin Turner's not a guy you think of when you think about best players in the league, you know, the top players anyway, most valuable guys. But, boy, he had a hell of a year.
The Cardinals could have had him, and they didn't listen to me when I said, get Turner.
I said, that's what you got to do.
You suggested that they get Turner?
Yes, and I knew he'd have a great year.
Did you? Well, then they don't listen to you.
They don't listen to me much, no.
That's, I guess, the best beard in sports at the moment.
Shot at me out of nowhere.
Dallas Keuchel's got a pretty good one. Brett Burns.
That was exciting. I love, you know, baseball when the Cardinals were eliminated is heartbreaking for a rights holder. Like every time you turn on the television, there's a little tear.
You're
not
in denial for a while.
Yeah, I still pretend they're in there. I call it the spirit playoffs.
Right.
And I create this whole scenario where the Cardinals just beat the Dodgers 12-0. But baseball always does. Postseason baseball always finds a way to bring me back. Because it is exciting because, let's be honest, if you're playing that team from Ohio in June, sometimes it's not the most compelling thing, but in the postseason where every pitch is so important, it is. It's great theater.
And all four games in the LCSs have been outstanding.
Great theater.
Great theater.
Let's not say great theater.
I knew I was waiting. That's why I said it again.
You can text in on great theater, 855-282-8255. That's 855-CUB-TALK. 855-CUB-TALK is how you can get involved. Joe Maddon is experiencing all kinds of criticism regarding his bullpen management last night in the World Series in 2016. He ran good
I think Dougie got the hand in bad, but the board ran out and he won against Natitude. Mm-hmm. He went high risk with Wade Davis going seven outs. Last night, shoving with King Jack offsuit finally caught up with him. Here's what he had to say regarding no Wade Davis, but instead John Lackey.
We need him for the save tonight. There was limited. He had limited pitches. Was one inning only. In these circumstances, you don't get him up and then don't get him in. So if we had caught the lead, he would have pitched. That's it.
Why Lackey in that spot?
Because he was going to pitch the next inning too, and two righties coming up right there. I liked him a lot on the first guy, Taylor. Once that walk occurred, then you know all bets are off against Turner. Everybody. Nobody's a really great matchup against Turner, so it just did not work out. I liked him against the first guy. I'm just betting on his experience right there as much as anything. I know that he went out there and wanted and tried to make the pitches that he wanted to make. I knew that the crowd would not affect him, and it didn't. I mean, the first walk, he just kept trying to get Taylor to chase. Once he got to two strikes and he didn't chase, to the hitter's credit. And then I didn't see the last pitch to Turner, but obviously it was pretty good. But I really thought that John would not be affected by the moment.
All right, well, I get that, but he did argue with himself. He's like, Turner, I mean, all bets are off. Okay, well, you just kind of laid that way and went with Lackey. And I did think it was great because there's always drama with Lackey. It's Lackey TV, so he didn't like any of the pitches that Contreras was showing him.
Right.
So he had to come out. Like, they were shaking him off, then he had to come out. And so you knew that something wasn't right with Lackey.
Somebody else's fault, imagine that.
Did anyone try to talk to him after the game?
He did, he talked, and he was somewhat delightful.
So he was okay about it.
I mean, his answers were quick and, you know, 3-second sound bites, but he wasn't a dick, you know.
And I also read that Madden also said Lackey wanted the ball. That's like Chip Kelly. If Chip Kelly wants your quarterback, he gets it. If Lackey wants the ball, he gets it.
Yeah. I think Madden's been taking his starters out too quick. I know Lester didn't have his best stuff last night, but he's still better than what they're bringing in the bullpen. And when you got a horse like that that got you there, and you're taking him out in the fifth inning, I think that's too early.
Yeah, I wonder.
Especially when your bullpen's been overworked anyway over the last week or so.
Yeah, you also don't know what guys are dealing with. I mean, he didn't look to be at his best. I know the results were okay, but it looked like he was always about ready to go on tilt. So well, I could see them getting a good five and getting them out.
Yeah, I think you got to ride with those guys. I'm sure the Dodgers are saying, oh, good, Lester's out. Good. Let's take our chances with the bullpen.
I didn't think he was magnificent as he was described, Lester.
He seems bitter all the time, too. You ever dealt
in
with
a way,
him?
Though, but that's
is he
good.
Kind of
it's
an
like,
angry guy?
He's good. Like Lackey. You know, it's like any time you want to ask him a question, it's a huge imposition.
Right. Well, that's bitter. What does he have to be bitter about?
I don't even know that it's real. I do think that there's certain guys that realize if you intimidate, you know, if you have the scowl and you act like it's an imposition, guys won't bother you. You know, so it makes your life easier. I think Pujols had some of that. He's not a bad guy, but he seemed cranky a lot, and I think part of that was by design, so people would, you know, if you walk over and he gives you that glare, a lot of media guys would just turn around and walk away.
Well, Lester even looks like that on the field.
Well, that's good.
I don't know.
You look that way when you walk into battle here to do the show. You kind of look locked in.
Oh, I don't. He just seems like a guy not very happy about anything.
Well, I said this before. I never would root for the Cubs, but I do like John Jay. So part of me is always pulling for John Jay. Not hoping the Cubs win, but he was a nice guy.
Which team would you take right now of the teams that are 0-2 and heading home? Yanks, Cubs. If you had to pick one of the two to come back in the
Yankees,
series.
And it's probably not even fair, just because I grew up a Yankee fan. Yeah. So they're the team that I'm pulling for out of all this. Plus Matt Holliday, who had two great at-bats.
What did he do with the plate?
0-2.
Was he?
Yeah, but did you see how hard he hit the ball?
And I don't think, not hard. And I don't think they, last I checked, they had no hits from their DHs at all.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they got one somewhere along the line.
He fouled some pitches off at least.
Intentionally.
Did he? So that's a good at bat there, boy. I think the Cubs might have a better chance to come back.
I just don't.
I think the Astros are really rolling right now. I don't know who's going to beat them. And the Cubs are tough to beat there at Wrigley.
Dodgers are pretty good.
Oh, they are. All these four teams are still very good. But if we had to pick a team that's more likely to come back, I would say the Cubs.
I still think if there were some clause in the rules of Major League Baseball and they could still just tuck the Cardinals in right now, they would run the table. I really believe that.
Yeah, because they're well rested now. They've had 2-3 weeks off.
Guys, did you hear that Mia Khalifa was kicked out of the Dodgers game in game one? Big news. Tom from the Sticks in Arkansas.
Who is she again?
Iggy got sideways with her during an interview when he asked at what age she became sexually active. And I saw that you were happy to see she got kicked out of Dodger Stadium.
He's still upset over the question?
No, I just don't like her.
Oh.
I'm sure that was another stunt, too. Let's pretend like I punched you while you kicked out, get more publicity for me and Gilbert Arenas' show, which is going to be god-awful. But we'll have
some. Doug, are you looking forward to the Mia Khalifa,
Gilbert Arenas?
What's her connection with Gilbert
Arenas? Is it a podcast?
Well, yeah, we'll have sound bites, I'm sure.
No, I think it's an actual show.
Yeah, it's daily.
Yeah.
A daily show?
Once a day, yeah.
I think it's FS1, isn't it?
No, it's some YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
All right, so it's not really a show, it's on YouTube.
Well, I think it's a legitimate.
No, some people thing. Get rich off YouTube. I get it, but no, I wouldn't call it a show.
No, it's a company that they're doing it for, and then they just broadcast it on YouTube. It's not like you just sit and film yourself and put it on YouTube. It's the company owns this, I believe, but I'm sure it's just another publicity.
And never before have I felt the generation gap. Like, my kid watches YouTube. Like, the only way I'll ever, like, look at YouTube is if someone tweets out like a funny clip or something interesting. But some people, that's what they look at. They go to YouTube and watch, and some of these people have millions of subscribers and make a ton of money.
Yeah, they do. I mean, for a living, she took her clothes off and had sex and wanted people to watch her, and now she's going to punch a guy because he wanted a selfie? Come on.
Yeah, that doesn't seem punch-worthy, really, unless the guy was abusive in some way.
Yeah, let's get her side of the story.
It could be that some people see her as, oh, there's a porn star. I can mistreat her or be abusive in some way, verbally or whatever. And they don't deserve that.
You don't know that happened, though.
No, I don't, but I'm thinking it's doubtful somebody said, hey, I'm a big fan, can I have a selfie? And she turns and punches him. I wouldn't think that probably happened.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Now, there is a clip I would like to play, if I'm allowed to call the signal.
Oh, my God, of course!
But I mentioned it, too, because we've talked about it before. I tell this story. When I was anchoring in Philly, and I said something in the transition back to the anchor, who was a button-down, polished anchor, it took him off his game just a little bit, and I made a joke, and he just looked at his script and said, duh, on cam, a direction in parentheses. Well, right. Apparently something like that happened during one of the NFL games. I think it was Dick Stockton.
The Jacksonville Jaguars game. It's a quick clip.
It can happen anyway. Yeah. I'd like to hear it, if that's okay.
Okay.
On the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
it can get you.
Dick Stockton has been doing games for as long as I've been watching television.
Yeah.
How old is he? 74. He must have started very young, because I remember him way, way back when doing games.
Yeah, and it can happen to anyone.
Yeah, look at that. He knew about halfway through that sentence. He
Tony,
knew he
look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Oh.
You notice someone didn't put that in parentheses.
Gotta go parentheses. Doug, to refresh your memory on Iggy and Mia Khalifa, we do have the audio. Just because
right, like,
she got kicked out of game one at Dodger Stadium.
Big Audio Monday is what it is.
Well, that's what it's all about here, Jack.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Watching the videos, and I have, you seem to enjoy it. Now, did you... You know, and a lot of girls don't when they first get into it. They're kind of timid and, you know, I'll do this because I need the money. But, you know, you seem to enjoy it. Were you sexually active young? At a young age?
No, but that's a weird question.
It is kind of weird.
Why is it weird? Because
that's
you
a really creepy question.
Why is it creepy?
Well, I mean, I think I understand because
you sound like Biff.
Because you're underage at the time.
No, I don't mean underage, but...
But if she's born at...
Weren't you like 20 when you started?
No, it's... That comes with that question.
Heads up, Doug. There's a bestie on the loose.
And for the record, she's 23, so I was talking about... 18, 19, before you got into porn.
Sure. Sure you were, Ig.
Well, I knew how old she was.
How old was she?
And she goes, no, but that's, I don't understand that question. Go back and I found three interviews where they asked the same question and she left.
Three of them.
15, 16 anally.
Pretty young.
And you answer those questions.
Wow. Nurse?
Doug couldn't play along on that one.
But my question was creepy and she said no, which was false because the answer was yes.
Guys, I heard she punched that fan at Dodger Stadium because he asked her how old she was when she became sexually active. Thanks. That's from Waffle Fries.
What about the Waffle Fries?
Look, I've asked a lot of creepy questions to porn stars.
That's I don't know that's not true.
That's not one of them.
Why do you think she took offense to you and then... Is it creepy that you went back and researched to see who else I might have asked her the same question?
I did, yes, because I wanted to prove that my question wasn't creepy, and it's not like she hadn't heard it before. And she asked, the question was asked before, and she laughed. This time it was creepy.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
She knows how big this show is, and she thought that it would get some play.
You think she has a clue about this show?
Thought what? It would get some play, yeah. I don't know.
It seemed like she was really upset by the question. It didn't seem like that was faux.
Well, she had no reason to be upset by the question. She's asked it a bunch of times. You're a porn star, for God's sake. You have sex for a living. Okay, why would the sex question come up?
Come on, no.
Sex.
How long did it take you to research all the other interviews she had ever done?
I went home. I Googled Mia Khalifa interviews, and the first three that came up, I went and listened to them, and they were... So when did you lose your virginity? Was it a young age? Mm-hmm. That was a question. Yeah.
Who asked that, Francesa?
I think it was Captain Jack, actually.
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack.
Who's that?
That's Billy Joel song, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Captain Jack. He's
Jack,
like
Jack
the...
Jack Sparrow? Captain Jack Sparrow?
He's the king of the porn interviews.
Wow, I take offense to that.
Wow.
They all go to Captain Jack.
Well, that's quite a moniker. King of the porn interviews.
Wow.
Parents are proud.
What did you do? Did you make yourself a little meal when you got home and then said, all right, research time. Whoever the Mia Khalifa is, I'm going to listen to her old interviews.
Don't remember what I did that day before I sat down to the computer.
Probably shaved some strokes off your game.
No. Didn't we interview her in the winter?
Doug, was that a winter time interview or fall time?
I just sat up in my bed.
I don't know how you guys can tell them apart, because honestly, to me, they sound exactly the same every single time. The answers are similar. The cadence is similar.
Well, I'll tell you this. When we meet them in person, you would say they're delightful. Delights?
Yeah, that's when I get wings. And you guys fawn all over them when I get wings.
You missed out, unfortunately, while you're getting wings at the Hot Shot South County location when Ariana Marie was here and participated in a Foot Fetish Friday with Jennings Jr. And as it turns out, and a lot of people have said this before, Jennings Jr. and Steph Curry have a lot in common. And as it turns out, Doug, they have more in common than you may have anticipated. Here is Steph Curry's wife, Aisha, on a program called The Real.
All right, I'll listen to that. Go ahead, hit the lever.
Show me an unusual picture on your phone.
Ooh, unusual.
Yeah,
make
unusual.
It good, girl. You got some. Come on. Make it good. Make it good.
Okay, I think this is good.
Show it to the camera.
What is that? What is it?
What
is that?
It's your feet.
What are you doing?
Okay, what's the story?
So, this is going to turn into a whole other thing. But my husband really loves my feet.
Oh, I love that.
And so, the light was hitting them just right that day. And so I was like, let me just snap this photo and send him a picture of my feet. So I always say, when he says to send nudes, that's what he's getting, a picture of my bare feet. I don't know if he's happy about that, but that's
okay.
Thanks, honey.
Send nudes. Here are my bare feet.
Here are my toes. Unpolished.
It's like foot porn. That's what this is.
You do have really beautiful feet. Come through Gucci Loco.
All right, girl. Now we know something about him. He likes feet.
He's going to kill me.
Doug, isn't it delightful when your wife goes on a program and
I'm sure he really appreciated that. Really?
What are you doing?
Okay, what's the story?
So
Steph Curry's wife, who is fawn, by the way. She is fawn.
Wait a minute, you're telling me one of the biggest athletic superstars in the United States making 30 or 40 million a year has an attractive wife?
That's right, that's right.
They're high school sweethearts, I do believe, though, as well.
Oh, well, that's quite a...
Guys, the audience reaction was similar to the Paterno Trump clip. Thanks, that's from Stephen Well. Now, you say people threw themselves off the balcony.
I could hear a woman throwing herself off the balcony when she heard that. That was the end of it. She couldn't listen anymore, and it was going to end it right then. So she heard that.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back? How about that whole deal? Bring that back. Bring that back. Bring that back.
My favorite is the way that. as insensitive as he may seem, he suddenly sensed something was wrong and immediately went to, how about that hole?
How about
deal?
That hole?
Deal.
How about that hole?
In other news.
He could have said anything other than that. Anything at all. And it would have gone over better.
All right, Mr. Trump, I've laid out some talking points. Here are some subjects you probably want to steer clear. Ah, I got this.
Yeah, if he could just stay away from the topic of college football when he comes through these states.
Oh. Mm.
Guys, I wanted to marry my high school sweetheart, but he was worried it would ruin his AM sports radio career. Thanks. That's from the hipster of Tower Grove.
Oh. Leggy Blonde?
Oh, what's up, man? Chum?
Let's see. Steph's wife is flying as hell, Doug. Sup, Cat? That's from Manchild 79.
My man right there.
I wonder what that foot looks like, though. Because
Doug looks like anyone else.
They looked appalled at him. What is that? What is that?
Not
a foot.
Plowhawk has an official review.
I did watch the video because I cut this, and they were pretty nice feet. I don't have a fetish or anything, but I could see if guys were fans of feet. These were pretty top notch, and they were next to like $1,300 Gucci boots, so that makes them look a little better.
You always seem to find a cuck situation in situations that aren't even resembling that at all, was it?
Although after watching this clip, I really need to get to know the real. I like the cast members on this show. I imagine their guests, their reaction to the feet thing. One of the ladies actually about like jumped out of her chair. Isn't that a foot?
Doug, her feet are top notch. I've seen them, B. That's a man child.
Yeah, how would you have seen them? Everyone's going to want to see them now that she's made this spectacle.
Steph's wife got that cake. Sup, man child? That's from Doug Vaughn's Illicit East Side Lover.
Here are my bare feet.
Here are my toes, unpolished.
It's like foot porn.
You ever thought, Doug?
Anyone get his reaction to that?
You ever been at home lounging around and thought to yourself, "Boy, the light is hitting these feet just right. No, I need to get a pick of this."
I do not have that. No, I don't get it.
Do you have good feet? Good, strong, sturdy feet?
Well, they've served me well. I think so.
Yeah, but not covered in bunions or snaggletooth toenails.
I had that gout flare up about 6-7 years ago.
Well, that was because all you were doing was drinking scotch and eating steak.
I don't know what that was from. Right there on that big toe joint. Oh, that hurts like hell. But that hadn't come back. Knock on wood.
How'd you treat it?
Time? You take naproxen.
Peroxide?
Naproxen. Oh, sometimes if it's too bad, they got to stick a needle in there and drain some of the crystals out of there.
Crystals?
Yeah, that's what causes it. It's like a uric acid crystals cause gout.
Doug, the Crystal City Clam Hammer and I send pictures of our feet to each other. What do you think of that? Yeah. Thanks, White Collar Gangster.
I don't need to know that. I don't think it's right.
Why are we talking about this? What a loser. That's from the Arnold Hoosier.
Who, us?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. What do you think that's in reference? I sometimes like to guess what the text means. Let's play guess what the text means. Okay. Why are we talking about this? What a loser.
The show is a loser. All-encompassing, the show is a loser.
When the Arnold Hoosier thinks you're a loser, then maybe you're on the wrong topic. He's down there, Merrimack River way.
Doug, I ran into Matt Ehrenreich at Grace's yesterday. He smelt like his cologne the rest of the day. So hot, Doug. What? What do you think that one means? That's from Caller Adam.
Who knows?
That's a great text. Caller Adam, thank you for being you. Even though sometimes you take shots at me, I appreciate your work, sir.
Should I know where Grace's is?
What is Grace's?
I don't know.
Into it at Grace's.
Doug.
What?
Stop your crap right now.
That's Caller Adam. He doesn't always go down smoothly.
No, he doesn't.
But he's a fine participant in the program.
I don't know that he is.
You have to recognize his body of work. He's done good work.
He's obnoxious.
Beercat's writing in. So when Jay Jr. texts Lady Beercats for nudes, he's only wanting feet pics. Thanks, Beercats. So Beercats says that Jay Jr. texts his wife for nudes?
And I've watched quite a bit of cuckold porn, my friend.
My friend.
Oh, is that in a debate? That's how people usually address each other in a debate. What was that? Was that Benson Quayle 88?
I don't know who it was.
But you pretend like you're addressing your opponent when you're really smirking at the crowd. Like, I got this guy.
And Beercats caught Jay Jr. requesting foot pictures of his wife?
I think so.
That'd be a little uncomfortable for
everyone
involved.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Thank you.
That's quite an allegation.
Well, that's just what he said, so we probably shouldn't believe it. That or anything else that comes on that.
That's Steph Curry. I'd be pissed. Send me a nude, baby, and you get a picture of a foot.
No, you'd be ticked at your wife if she goes on some show and then outs your mild fascination with feet.
Right. What if Anna Marie did an interview with a live magazine, and they've been trying to get us for years?
I don't blame her.
Revealed my interest in getting pegged. No. That would be something that I'd prefer to
keep
inside.
You're talking about pegboarding, right?
Like the nickname for a Margaret.
You hang up on your garage so you can put tools up, that sort of thing.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I got a collar. Hello, collar.
Can you reach it?
I can't. I have like dinosaur.
Get full extension.
There you go.
Yeah, collar.
Hello. Yellow. Hello, line 3. Yeah. Oh, there he is. All right. Hello.
Hey.
Oh, hello, Mike.
You know, I've stopped voting every Saturday morning now.
You stopped voting every Saturday morning?
No, I'm voting by my house every Saturday morning.
You're bowling.
Boating.
Yeah.
Boating. Which one?
By my house.
Boating or bowling?
You got a place boating on mile marker 21, bro?
I'm boating with their team every Saturday morning.
Doug, a boating team.
Boating.
What was it Dennis Conner, yeah. America's Cup 88?
I don't know what year that was.
It's by my house.
Is there a lake out there?
Yeah, it's Creek by my house, so.
Okay.
Very nice.
Well, are we sure it's boating? Is it bowling with the ball
yeah,
or boating with the yacht?
Like you bowl a ball. Yeah, bowling.
Oh, are you pretty good at it?
Pivot right off this then, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, it'd be Saturday morning by my house.
Nice. A lot of ladies at this bowling league?
Yeah, I'm enjoying with some lady in there, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool, that's fun.
Some lady.
Yeah.
And this Saturday night coming up, I'm going to some kind of party with Carter.
Very nice.
Things are moving quickly there.
I can't wait that one.
I wouldn't think you could.
No. So I can't wait
good
that
for you,
one.
My friend.
You going to the Missouri-Idaho game?
I don't know.
Right. That's the reaction of Tiger Board, too.
I'm glad the Cup lost the other day.
Why?
Because they don't like us.
Oh, well, I don't think any other teams really like us.
They don't like us.
No, I don't think the Dodgers are fond of us either, though.
No, the Padres like us.
Right.
No, they don't like us. And now Sarah came to town.
Sarah came to town?
It's Sarah from California.
Yeah.
Here in town.
You going to meet up with her somewhere?
I talked to her, and she said she loved me. Well, I talked to her.
You got a gal in every port, haven't you?
So I talked to her.
Yeah. Where does she live in California?
I don't know. Her number's still the same, so.
Yeah, she just took
her number's still like 314.
Sure, right.
Probably don't want to give out the other.
Yeah, don't give out the
seven digits if you could. Larry Nickel posted a social security number one time, Doug, on a tweet, and all hell broke loose.
My bet.
Anything? Anything for Doug?
Anything for Jim Hayes on this Monday morning?
Hey, Doug.
Anything for Jim?
Why you wear Jay wearing the underwear?
Jay, what underwear? What kind of underwear?
Yeah, he's too fat.
Oh, Fat Albert. No, I don't wear Fat Albert underwear.
Yeah?
No, I don't, really don't. I don't.
Yeah?
No, I don't.
Anything else for Doug before you go? Anything else for Doug?
Anything for Jim? Maybe something for Jim would go better. Yeah.
Your penis smells like...
All right, put him down! All right, put him down!
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to win with that.
I did not see that coming.
When in doubt, go to the classics. That's my credo.
Mike Lee just got himself suspended. I don't care about his bowling. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log hill. They do have those 11 locations all around town. You're saying, wait a minute, you don't have anything to write down this. I do. I have an ink pen from Wright Business Products.
Yeah, you do.
They will brand your office supplies.
Beer Cat's writing in. I'm kidding.
No.
He's not the Plowhawks.
Plowsy.
I'm kidding. I love Bearcats and his muse. They're good peeps.
Now, why do you say muse?
I do like that. I like that muse.
I don't know. They got a little wild side to them. I like that.
How do you know?
Couldn't they have been to a couple of events and...
They're just sitting there.
They've
talking.
Let loose and...
Really? What have they done? I don't recall
Well,
this.
They drink and they allow us to talk about a cuck situation with his wife. That's pretty cool people in my book.
I didn't know that. What event was this?
Well, I'm... When was the one last event in Illinois? I think Edwardsville.
Plowsy's been hosting his own events.
No, I'm saying they came
party
out
with Plowsy,
and we had a discussion on air while they were there about a I think a cuck situation or Iggy or Jay, and they're really cool about that sort of thing. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, she got a little excited during the, her and her sister played in the Name That
TV
theme.
She got a that was the night Larry Nichols Robin's fed by an off-road trucker.
Yeah. Sure was. What are the odds of that? And she played along quite well. Big old gal, big burly gal. She could really handle that.
Lady Beercats is pretty thin. I don't think she would appreciate the...
No, I mean the trucker. The trucker was a big old burly gal.
She was an out-of-state trucker lady. Yeah. Out-of-state.
It was hot though, bro.
Just the best was that she joined the fan page. That was the best.
She did join the fan page. How did that happen?
She probably got home to Biloxi, Mississippi after that trip, and you said, you wouldn't believe the things that happened to me on the road.
Well, we're going to have those kind of good times again at our next
That's right. That's TMA October Live. 26th, Thursday, a week from Thursday, right, at Hot Shots in Webster. The Cat made reference to his podcast, which will debut November 1st. And is it official, or am I letting the cat, pun intended, out of the bag regarding your first guest?
No, that he confirmed.
Adam Wainwright, Doug, will be the Cat's first guest on Cat Chat.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one there,
Jack. Hey, Wayno, that's it. That's the podcast.
He could be, when his playing days are over, he could be the John Smoltz type in the broadcast booth, because he's outstanding.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
I wonder if he would want to do that. I can't imagine he would.
Smoltz, got some little ones.
Smoltz made the same kind of money, though.
Right, I know. Yeah, I mean, probably less when it gets down to it, but same stratosphere.
My guess is that after a player like Wainwright retires, he will take a few years to be at home and do some of the things that
he shaves strokes too. He's got a stick, though.
Well, golfing, but also family.
Right. Things. No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, some of these guys love, like Mark Mulder plays on those, I don't know what they call them, celebrity tour, and he wins it every year. And Wainwright was right there with Mulder and Loesch, actually.
And I always heard that Maness was the best of the bunch.
Is that right?
That's what I heard.
Doug, why don't we put together a foursome and see who's the best?
Okay. I'm sure we could play with those guys. What
That's
do they
right.
got?
That's
what do they
right.
got that we don't have?
Today, my new podcast episode is up. Plowhawk, do you have the audio? It's with Clay Travis, and it just went up about an hour ago, and it now is on its own dedicated feed. Doug, do you understand that? Because it used to be on the TMA feed.
Okay.
But now you go to iTunes and search the Tim McKernan Show, and that's where you'll find this interview with Clay Travis. And I think it's one of the first times. I see we have a little explicit thing next to it. Nice. I guess there's a few F this and F that in there.
Oh,
Clay,
no.
Clay said F this, and I said no.
He did.
No.
You don't bleep that out?
No. It was only like a couple of them. But anyway, you can download it. If you subscribe to the podcast, it just automatically comes to your phone every time we have a new episode. And so take a listen to our exchange here out of the gate, if you would.
Oh, well, go ahead and hit the lever, Plows.
You want just IF5 clips? You want just
the first one?
How about the first one?
Well, I don't have them numbered.
You got IF5 clips?
IF5 clips.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what specific one he wants.
All right, no, that's fine, Plowhawk. How about
just don't want to play the wrong one?
The criticism from Will Leach on the direction he believes Clay has chosen to take with his career.
Will, to me, started a funny website at Deadspin. And when I went to become an editor at Deadspin, I liked what Will Leach had created because I thought it stripped away the seriousness of sports. Somewhere along the way, Deadspin became very self-serious in the way that it takes itself. What I had been told was that there was basically, it was funny, when I left Deadspin, the people at Gawker said, you know, we're sorry, you know, like your career's over, because people don't leave Deadspin and have more success after they leave. And that's what I was told. And they said, you know, unless they're leaving because they...
What year did you leave Deadspin?
Like 2008.
Okay.
I'm the most successful person by far who's ever worked at Deadspin. I might be more successful than every person who's ever worked at Deadspin combined, right? And I don't think that's a ridiculous proposition.
So Clay said the reason Will Leach is criticizing him is because there's envy there. So he got into his critics and saying it's rooted in envy. My main thing was to see if he truly believes everything that he's saying. Because when he first appeared on our show in 2012, that was a producer Joe project. I had no idea who he was. Do you guys know who he was the first time he was on the show? The
no.
Cat, I doubt you. He was an SEC no. football guy, Doug, did you?
No, not really.
He had written that book where he traveled around to a variety of SEC stadiums. And so he was making the observation that he is now, there was a Politico article that was published on September 29th, 2017, in which they said Clay Travis has now emerged as a face of the alt-right. But Clay points out he voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012 and does not regret it.
Would you describe your views politically as the same as they were when you voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012?
I don't
look back on that and go, man, I can't believe I voted for Barack Obama.
No, I don't think my opinions have changed. I mean, that's why I think it's funny. People are like, oh, Clay Travis is an opportunist. I mean, like, I'm pro-choice. I'm anti the death penalty, you know. The only thing I would say I've changed on a little bit is maybe I've become a little bit more fiscal conservative. But I think that was a natural evolution because when you graduate from law school and you start representing big companies, like you see all these frivolous lawsuits going on and things like that. But I would say that I can't really point to anything right now that I have a belief that's totally different than I would have had in 2008 or 2012.
So he does not regret voting for Barack Obama, even though he has been labeled as a face of the alt-right now. But along with becoming a guy who was an attorney on the U.S. Virgin Islands in 2004, then became a blogger, then a sports talk radio host, then was writing for Fan House, where he was let go, and then started up Outkick the Coverage, and was a college football guy. Now he's appearing on CNN, the famous First Amendment and Boobs comment with Brooke Baldwin, and appears on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox News. We discussed the evolution of his career and how he is now a source of controversy and hate tweets and threats. And I asked, because I know I get crap, so I was, and I would imagine he's getting it at a multiple of 50 to 100 times more than I get, and if that concerns him, his family, when he gets these threats, and this was his response regarding that.
Threats of violence. You've had to have gotten. I mean, you retweet like the asinine.
Yeah, and I mean, what can you do? You know, I mean,
well, I get it. Again, you're now getting it from all over the country. I get it, and it's kind of like, all right, whatever. This guy was parked outside my house. He took a picture. Oh, this guy just took a picture. My wife sent to me. It's like, you know, it's threatening.
Yeah,
I hate it because it brings the family.
Yeah,
in.
The wife so and kids are what.
Yeah,
me.
I mean, so what happens like for your wife's name's Laura, correct?
Yeah, I mean,
does she go, oh my God, this is freaking me out?
$20 million in life insurance.
So she's like,
if I get killed, my family is set for the next three generations.
So that actually goes through your head.
Yeah, I mean, what I have tried to do in my life is live in a manner where I don't fear anything, right? And because to me, if you sit around worried about what other people are going to do to you, then it changes the way you live.
$20 million in life insurance after the career has blown up along with the criticisms.
And why in the world would he get death threats? Because he's a Republican? That's enough?
No. Yeah, I don't even know if he's a Republican.
I don't think he's a Republican.
Well, because he's certainly conservative now in his political
views. But
see, if you listen to the interview, there's like I said, it's about a 42-minute interview, I'm not mistaken. That's not what he would describe himself as. I think he would describe himself probably more as libertarian. But either way, inserting yourself or becoming a part of a political discussion these days, I get threats. I don't know if I would call them death threats, but threats.
For what?
It's the strangest damn thing. I mean, it's like you don't even, I mean, I know where to go to find it, but therefore I just don't pay attention to it because it's psychologically, you know, destructive. But I know for him, he said it while we were sitting there and we talked about it in the interview, he can open up his phone at any moment and see people attacking him. Now, not all the time violent, but that's the nature of the beast. And for him, he either doesn't care or he thrives on it. Whereas for me personally, I would just rather not even deal with it, which is why I block. Whereas Charlie Marlowe goes, well, then I feel like they win if you block him. I go, what does it matter?
No. Blocking.
Yeah. What does it matter?
I don't think they feel like they've won if they get blocked.
Oh, I think now some people wear it as a badge of honor to get blocked. And then they tweet that they've been blocked. And then they're like, oh, see, that guy's an ass. Plowhawk, you're agreeing with me on that. I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a muffin in your mouth.
I hate the people that...
I think it's a blueberry.
I hate the people that screenshot their they're being blocked and then acting like it is, like you said, a badge of honor. Those are the worst.
See, to me, if you fancy yourself as a funny guy or whatever, and so you make fun of stuff, and then someone wants to make fun of you, I don't block them for that because that seems hypocritical. But if they're vile or curse or anything, then I block. And then apparently with you, you'll block if they mention anything about anything about frozen custard.
No, no. If it's mean-spirited, yeah, then you block him.
Frozen custard gets you blocked?
That's, I think, what Doug blocked me for. I said, we get it. You can afford frozen custard because he took a picture of himself at Ted Drew's or something. Like, we get it. You can afford custard or something. It wasn't mean-spirited. It was a joke. I do that with Charlie all the time.
No, that wasn't it.
I think it was.
I can't imagine what gets said on this show that someone would feel like.
Now you're ducking the issue. I am not vile on Twitter. You can go through my whole timeline. I'm not vile.
You tweeted out a great birthday wish to Tim McCarver,
who is a great colleague and a wonderful person. And once in a while, like I'll have a little fun with my colleagues. So I'll take a little, but it's never vile. I don't do vile on the Twitter.
I only block the hideous and the vile. You must have been hideous then.
Neither.
You must have been mean spirited.
Neither. Yeah, it was something sure like was. We get it. You can afford frozen custard.
No, it wasn't that. No, it wasn't.
Plowhawk's Laugh is brought to you by the Post Sports Bar and Grill, the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Okay, we don't need that sound effect.
What?
But what in the world do you say on this show that would get you threatened?
What? Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I can't see because the cat... there's nothing wrong with you where you are. The cat just can't see. That's why I didn't know if you're talking to me or you're just talking rhetorically to anybody... In general.
Don't say rhetorically, right? We can do it.
It seems a little much.
Yeah, really?
It's an awful lot of words.
Like I'm going to send you a death threat for using
back
that word.
Off a little bit. Maybe I can see why you're threatened.
Perfect use of rhetorically there. I don't know. I sincerely don't know. As I've said before, I listen every once in a while, and I don't even know how they pop up. I guess like D-Bear or Producer Joe or Buck Swope, maybe, if he has stuff from the very beginning of the show, like the Morning Grind, and I listen, I go, oh, my God. Like, what an ass regarding myself. Mm-hmm. For real. Like, yeah. I don't know how the cat and Martin put up with it. So maybe in 10 years.
Or how we do to this day.
Exactly. Maybe in 10 years I'll go.
It continues.
But I guess I was the chicken hawk on the show at that time.
Go, you chicken hawk, go. Go, you chicken hawk, go. Where is that from? That's a great song, that chicken hawk song. Plowsy, see if you can find the chicken hawk song.
Leave Plowsy alone.
Boy, that's a nice tune. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
So, I don't know if that, you know, if I say I'm agnostic, which I am, but that doesn't mean, I think I also am very clear with I support people expressing their religious faith, even though I am not religious, but I guess maybe that can be a thing. In my opinion... I don't view myself as far left, but I realize that some people might take my social positions that way, even though I voted for John Kasich in the Missouri primary in 2016. I have no idea. I don't know. I want to make this clear. It's not like it's like, you know, hundreds or anything like that over the last 13 years. But what I'm saying is I know if I get it, then Clay certainly gets it, has to.
Absolutely.
So that's why we got into that. And his whole thing was that he only cares about what his wife and children think of him. But in this Politico article, which I would really recommend to people reading, and as I said, it's recent. It's September 29th, 2017. His wife is quoted as saying he might be looked at as the person who supported Trump when he went after black athletes. I hope he's not remembered for that in history. So I said to him, you know, if you only care what your wife and three children, and his kids, I think, are 11 and under, if that's what you care about, what's the conversation like with your wife when you read that that's what she said about you? And he believes that that was not an accurate representation of what he said. And then it got into that article and the details of that article. That's also where Will Leach said that he has gone to a place where he can't come back from. But Clay says that Will's saying that out of jealousy and got into the whole thing on Deadspin and Deadspin's struggles, I guess, is what he was saying.
Well, Deadspin is clearly has a political element to it.
And I don't know what happened there because that's not what it was when it started out.
And Will Leach, who I think is a wonderful guy, clearly has his political beliefs that seem to run directly opposite of Clay's. So, I mean, I don't know if it's jealousy. I think Will Leach has done pretty well for himself.
I would imagine Will's done. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he's written books, know. And he's a really nice guy. But his political beliefs are vastly different from Clay's, and I'll bet that's where the stuff. I don't think there's jealousy. And back to the death threats, we had a guy who used to call and said he was coming to the station to step on my neck. Do you remember that?
What did you say?
What's this?
Yeah, years ago.
What was the context?
To him on the phone.
What?
Yeah, there was a guy who threatened that he was going to come down to the station and kick my butt.
What was he upset about?
I think he might have been a little anti-Semitic. I don't really recall. But yeah, he used to call and say how he was going to come down and get me, and never happened.
And I realized for 99.9% of the people listening to this, the idea of this stuff sounds like completely foreign. So occasionally, you know, somebody will post a screenshot from somewhere and go, oh my God, this stuff exists. And while I hate it, I'm glad in a way that the normal people who do listen to the show and this stuff would never cross their mind becomes aware that it's there. Because in their minds, they're like, how could that, just like what you said, Doug, how in the world would anybody like hate that much that it gets violent or threatening or wish the most malicious thoughts? But it does happen. And again, I want to make it clear, like the cat, I don't even remember that story. This isn't like something that's commonplace. It just does exist. But with what Clay does and doing it in 2017 versus 2007, it's even more intense, which is why we got into the death threat thing. And then now he rattles off, well, I've got $20 million in life insurance. So I'm like, okay. But that still doesn't address what happens if somebody does come after him. And I would imagine that's something that unfortunately is possible. Not to say it's likely, but possible. So as I said, the interview is more about, I mean, I don't even know if we talked about Missouri football or SEC football. It was more of an introspective on his career. Because I was legitimately curious as to how he went from where he was to where he is now, and some criticism. I mean, from people who he used to work with, and that quote from his wife, which was surprising to read, but then he goes on to explain how he thinks that all came to pass and how he probably would never do another feature article because of it. So anyway, it's up there. Subscribe to the Tim McKernan Show on iTunes, whatever podcast platform you use. It's up on InsideSTL.com. It was just put up there within the last hour and a half. TJ Moe's going to be with us coming up at 9 o'clock. Doug, Mike Francesa got punked.
What happened?
I'm trying to get better at teasing. So, okay. So that's coming your way as well. And then Buck Swope has a new Swope's picks. And the subject of the Swope's pins, Iggy. And it's one for the ages. At Buck Swope. I'm telling you that Buck Swope.
He had a new sewed this weekend?
That's right, new sewed. Oh, you didn't listen? I figured you would have listened right back from Columbia.
This time I missed it. Yeah, I missed it.
Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.